1 Corinthians 11, verse 26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." It's a great pleasure to be with you this morning as we just sang two beautiful songs that proclaimed his death, didn't we? And I don't know if it could be any more majestic than the one we just finished singing about how our Lord was exalted in giving the ultimate sacrifice. I suspect there are still folks here this morning from lots of different places. I don't belong here either, but I feel at home. And it's such a pleasure to know there are Christians all over this building from many places. And all of us together today are making a proclamation. I think it's fitting for us to think a moment about what we're proclaiming as a group as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper. First of all, we're proclaiming, as this passage says, his death. What we are testifying today, because the word proclaim literally means to declare, to speak, to testify, it means to publicly publish. There's nothing secretive about this. The proclamation is out loud and unashamed. We are proclaiming that Jesus the Christ died. That was a real event. It literally happened on this earth. We are proclaiming that he died with great significance. The significance is that he died for my and your sins. And we believe his body was broken and his blood was shed for the remission of our sins. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a strange message for the 21st century. But we're not ashamed to proclaim it publicly today. And then the passage says, "You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Implied in that expression is that we believe he was buried, but that on the third day he rose again. That he appeared to many. The testimony of numerous witnesses that he was dead, but now is alive. And that he promised all of his disciples that he was leaving, but he would be back. We're here today, gathered around the Lord's table, to give open testimony, unashamedly, that we're waiting for our Master to come back again. We have not the least doubt that he was here, that he lived the life that he lived, that he sacrificed himself for us, that he died and was buried, but that he rose again. The only one in the history of mankind to do that deed. And then he said to us in John the 14th chapter, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I go, and you know the way." And Thomas said, "Lord, we're not knowing where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if you had known me, Thomas, you would have known the Father. Christians from many different places today in this one place are proclaiming, we are preaching a sermon today, beloved, because the word literally means to testify publicly to something significant. We're saying to the world, we believe those things with all of our hearts and we're willing to stand with it and stand for it. There's a song that was written back in the 1800s, and since this is song weekend, I thought that would be appropriate, TJ, to talk about a song. I don't know if you sang this one or not. It's called By Christ Redeemed by George Lawson, or Rawson, and John B. Dykes, written in the 1800s. I think it captures the essence of what we're testifying today. It's an older song. Some of you youngsters may have never sung it. If you haven't, I'm sorry. By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the memory adored and show the death of our dear Lord until he comes. His body, broken in our stead, is here in this memorial bread. And so our feeble love is fed until he comes. And thus, that dark betrayal night, with the last advent, we unite by one blessed chain of loving right until he comes. I want to pause after that third stanza just a moment. And by the way, there are several stanzas that are not in our books, which is often the case. It's kind of like watching a movie instead of reading the book. You miss a lot. But that third stanza, which many of us have sung for many, many years, I remember singing this song when I was the age of some of these little children. I never got that third verse. So can I read it for you again and let you hear what it's saying? Because it's part of what we're doing today. And thus, this composer says, that dark betrayal night, the night that Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples, you remember? The night that Judas left and then later came to betray him. The night he was turned over to his enemies, and the next day he was killed. Thus, that dark betrayal night, with the last advent, we unite. The last advent, ladies and gentlemen, is when he comes back again. What we are doing today is we're connecting the betrayal night and all that surrounded that event with the last advent. We're uniting them because we're proclaiming his death until he comes. And then the verse says, by one blessed chain of loving right. That's where I got lost. Here's the picture in my mind now as I better understand what this composer is saying. Think of the betrayal night, and then think of the beginning of the celebration that Jesus himself instituted as a chain connecting every week the previous event with the one he promised. A chain of loving ritual, rite, the passage says, R-I-T-E. Ritual can be a good word, beloved. It doesn't have to be a bad word. What we're doing today is this week, we're connecting that event with the return. Would you want to miss that? Imagine that you'd break the chain between the betrayal night and the last advent. I wouldn't want to be there. I love the way this author put that together because it tells us what we're doing here. But there are two other verses that aren't in any of the songbooks I've looked at. And I must share it with you today. Until the trump of God be heard, until the ancient graves be stirred, and with the great commanding word, the Lord shall come. TJ, we need to get that in our books. And then the final verse he wrote, oh, blessed hope, with this elate, let not our hearts be desolate, but strong in faith and in patience, wait until he comes. I hope there's not a person in this audience that's discouraged. Do we see our culture falling apart? Many things happening around us that are not happy relative to what our Lord would have. Don't you ever be discouraged. Come back to the Lord's table every week and be reminded that our testimony is we serve a master who died for us. He gave his all. And we're waiting for him to come back and receive us to himself. You see, that's the testimony of the redeemed. That's the testimony of those who have decided once and for all in their life, I'm giving my life to the only one who can save me and lead me to God. And I'm not ashamed to say that every week in a public fashion. And were someone to come in here and disturb this assembly, the message would still be the same. We serve a risen Savior who gave his life for us. We secondly proclaim the privilege in his death. Do you realize what an intimate relationship Jesus has provided for us around this table? He said in Matthew 26, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus the Christ is here, beloved, around this table. And he's invited us to be personal associates with him. That was not the case in the Old Testament. Under the law of Moses, most people were excluded from close connection to the majestic, powerful God. You remember, Bible students, that the average person under Judaism could bring his sacrifice, hand it over to the priest who would take his place and offer the sacrifice on his behalf. Not so with the Lord Jesus. He is our high priest, and he's invited us to come directly to him. You remember that in the tabernacle and in the temple, only the priests were allowed in. And the table of showbread spread there was only for them. Not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has opened the way for us. And two blessed passages from the book of Hebrews explain it wonderfully well. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have here no continuing city, but we seek one which is to come. That's Hebrews 13. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You remember, don't you, that the holiest was reserved once a year for one human being, the high priest. Only he, once a year, could go into the presence of the most holy place. Now our Lord Jesus says, you may boldly enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Beloved, our Lord's invited you to this feast personally, every one of us. Can you imagine? Have you forgotten who it is that's inviting us? The first chapter of John, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Without him was not anything made that was made. He made all things, and he's the light of the world. And he says, come in. I welcome you. My last point at this hour is that in Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, when the servants of the Lord under the Old Testament were required to come three times a year to great feasts in Jerusalem. Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. The Lord said through Moses in Deuteronomy 16, when you come, don't come empty-handed. They were to bring gifts to the Lord every time. May I say that our invitation to this feast would certainly demand that we don't come empty-handed either. We need to bring our proclamation. We need to bring our examination. We need to bring our submission to him. We need to bring our exaltation at the privilege. May God bless us as we partake with Jesus our Lord.